Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos class learning, Erev Shabbos. It's a pleasure to see everyone. We had a few weeks hiatus. I was away for a week, and then it was Purim. So we have missed two classes, but we've actually not met for 3 weeks. So it's very nice to see everybody again. So let us begin with our learning. So tonight's shiur is sponsored by my friend Chana Wasserman, who learns with me in many different venues. Baruch Hashem, Chana Wasserman is sponsoring L'zecher Nishmas, her father's yahrzeit. 16 Adar was the 29th yahrzeit of her father, Shmuel ben Baruch HaLevi, Alav HaShalom. He was born in Poland in 1907. When he was only 6 years old, his family had to move to Vienna, where they restarted and rebuilt. Her father graduated law school in Vienna. However, he was unable to practice because of the anti-Semitism at that time. During World War II, he was hiding in France. During this time, his parents and three of his five siblings were murdered by the Nazis, Yimach Shmam V'Zichram. After the war, a sister and brother-in-law sponsored him to relocate to Canada, my alma mater. He applied to the local Canadian university to take supplemental courses so he could practice as a lawyer in Canada. He was told after everything he had been through, his degree was not recognized. He would have to start all over again from the beginning. What that generation went through is things that we really cannot fathom. He was close to 50 years old at that time. Instead, he went door to door selling encyclopedias. After that, he spent the remainder of his employment years selling neon signs for a local small Jewish-owned business. And Chana said about her father, despite all of these difficulties, my father never seemed to be bitter, never dejected, and never depressed. He was a pleasant person. He never sought the limelight. He was liked by everyone who knew him. He lived his life with true equanimity, hishtavas ha-nefesh. His life was and continues to be a precious legacy for all of our family. Tehei Zichro Baruch. May the neshama of Shmuel ben Baruch HaLevi, Alav Hashem, merit an aliyah in the schus of the Torah that we will share together this evening. So I'll tell you what I decided to do. I'm doing this on my class. I have a new phone, so I'm trying to just make sure the recorder works, which Baruch Hashem it seems to be. This class is loosely connected to Pirkei Avos on the one hand, and very intimately connected to Pirkei Avos on the other hand. Much of Pirkei Avos deals with interpersonal relationships, and much of Pirkei Avos also deals with Ahavas Torah and Limud Torah. So right in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, we are told in Perek Av Mishnah Beis, and it's a Mishnah we've spoken about in terms of different aspects of the Mishnah, that Shimon HaTzadik Hayi Mishiari Knesset HaGedola Hu Haya Omer Al Shlosh HaDvarim HaOlam Omer Al HaTorah Ve'al HaAvod Ve'al Gmilus Chasadim. So Shimon HaTzadik was one of the last remainders of the men of the great assembly, and he teaches us that the world stands constantly on three things. The first of these three things upon which the world stands is Torah. Without Torah, there would be no world. I am going to begin by quoting from the Rebbetzin Kanievsky Allah HaShalom biography. About a year before the Shidduch was finalized between Rav Chaim and Batsheva Alyashov, Rav Alyashov, who became Rav Chaim's father-in-law, had gone to Bnei Brak to discuss several halachic questions with the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish was Rav Chaim's uncle. Afterwards, the Chazon Ish told his sister, Rebbetzin Miriam Kanievsky, the Stipler's wife, how impressed he was with Rav Alyashov's understanding in Torah and halachos and his refined midos. Rav Alyashov had mentioned he had older children, and the Chazon Ish said to his sister, "Find out if there's a daughter of marriageable age for your Chaim." Several weeks later, Rav Ben Sion Brak, the Rosh Hashiva of Novardak, who knew the Stipler from Novardak, and was also close to Rav Aryeh Levine. Rav Aryeh Levine was Rav Elyashov's father-in-law, so Rebbetzin Kanievsky's grandfather. So the Yichus here is otherworldly. And he lived near Rav Elyashov, so he suggested the Shidduch between Rav Chaim and Batsheva Elyashov as well. Apparently, the Chazon Ish was not the only one who thought this was an excellent idea. When the Chazon Ish looked into the Shidduch for Rav Chaim, he heard that besides being extremely close to her Levine grandparents, Batsheva shared their sterling midos. This information led the Chazon Ish to actively pursue the Shidduch for his nephew, for whom he held in the highest regard. After the Shidduch was proposed, before the young couple met, Rav Elyashov made a special trip one weekday afternoon to the Lamzi Yeshiva to see his prospective son-in-law, Rav Chaim, and to speak and learning. After Rav Eliashiv left, Rav Dov Weintraub, who became Rav Chaim's chavrusa for 70 years, asked Rav Chaim how it went with Rav Eliashiv, who became his father-in-law. Rav Chaim replied he enjoys speaking with him. Rebbetzin Miriam Kanievsky, the stipler's wife, made a surprise visit to her prospective daughter-in-law, her place of employment, to see Batsheva while the shidduch was in progress. Later on, she mentioned how impressed she was by how modestly she was dressed. Before Rav Chaim met his future caller, remember the first Mishnah that I quoted is the second Mishnah of Pirkei Avos. Al-Shlosh HaDvarim Ha'olam Omeid Al-HaTorah Ve'al Ha'avod Ve'al-Gemilas Chasadim. The first pillar that holds up the entire world is Torah learning. He received dating advice from his father. The stipler told him to bring up at least one personal question during the meeting. When Rav Chaim returned home, the stipler said to his son, "So did you ask her a personal question?" "Yes," says Rav Chaim, "I did. I found out what masechta her father's learning, and I found out his daily learning schedule." Wait, is that where I wanted to stop? One second. Oh, okay. When Rebbetzin Batsheva became a kala, her in-laws and chassan invited her to Bnei Brak for Shabbos. There was no direct bus service, so she took a bus to the central station in Tel Aviv and boarded a Dan bus to Bnei Brak. Rav Chaim's parents, the stipler and his Rebbetzin, told their son it would be appropriate for him to meet his kala at the central bus station. When Batsheva showed up at the Kanievsky home and her chassan was not there, her future mother-in-law, the stipler's Rebbetzin, was surprised. "Where's Chaim?" Batsheva said she had no idea. The stipler, his father, said Rav Chaim must have gone engrossed in the sugya, and he was probably still in the bus station. He took a taxi to Tel Aviv, and he asked the taxi driver to wait. Sure enough, right by the platform where the buses from Yerushalayim arrive, there was Rav Chaim, deeply engrossed in the Gemara in front of him. The stipler quickly got his son's attention. They hurried into the taxi back to Bnei Brak, back to the kala and the future family members. It is, as I mentioned in this morning shiur, my son told me that Rabbi Kilson spoke the Meshgich and Darche. And one of the things he said Monday night is that it is impossible for him to be masbid Rav Chaim Zatzal. He said the only thing he could say is that what they said about the Chavetz Chaim. Before, there was a world with the Chavetz Chaim, and now there's a world without the Chavetz Chaim. And to describe the godless of Rav Chaim in language is impossible. And furthermore, Rav Brudny spoke the next day as well in Yeshiva Darchi Torah. My son told me, he said when he heard the news, he took upon himself that he is not going to be masbid Rav Chaim, that the godless is so unbelievable that it's impossible to put into words. So if I'm talking about Gadolei Torah, who cannot be maspid the Gadol Dar, then Micha Haaretz cannot be maspid the Gadol Dar. But what I've chosen to do tonight, there is so much focus on Pirkei Avos, on the essence of Torah. The whole Masechta really begins with telling us that the world stands upon Torah. We're going to look at another Mishnah in one moment that really truly relates to the life of Maran Sar HaTorah, HaGadol HaGaon Rav Chaim Kanievsky, to be a whole life steeped in Torah. So what I've decided to do tonight is different insights into the Haggadah of Rav Chaim Kanievsky. The idea, I admit, I'm not trying to plagiarize anything, chas v'sham, I do not do that. Kol mer davar b'shem amr, mevi gul olam, we learned about that in depth. My son sent me the other day, he heard a shiur on OU Torah from Rabbi Daniel Glotstein. It was 10 Divrei Torah for Leil HaSeder from Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So I listened to it, and while I was listening to it, besides listening to the shiur, I thought, this is a very nice idea, because we can't not acknowledge on our level, I can't say anything about Rav Chaim, but on the other hand, to not acknowledge the batira of the Gadol HaDor would be a gross negligence. So in what way can we benefit? I thought, what a beautiful idea. So that is the shiur that I'm going to present tonight. I prepared different Divrei Torah for Leil HaSeder from the teachings of HaGadol HaDor, Mamish, Hagaon, Sar HaTorah, Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Let us look at the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos first. Where am I going? Right here. I prepared on the... Just have to go to it. Could you see that I went to Pirkei Avos? This is... Could you see it says Mishnah Tes? Yes? Okay, so it's Perek Vav, and it's Mishnah Tes, and it's an extremely, extremely beautiful Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma says, Pam echas hayisi mehalech baderech. One time, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma was taking a walk. Upaga bi adam echad. My husband just said, we were sitting at the table, we were debating if we ate enough mizonos to make an al hamicha. So my husband said, so have another cookie, have a cookie. So I said, the problem is when I finished my lunch, I had one cookie. So then I said, oh, I don't know if it's enough mizonos, so I had another one. So I said, I'm not doing that again tonight. So my husband said he heard that they said Rav Chaim, when he finished eating, he had to ask what he ate. He was so engrossed in his Torah studies, he needed to know what he ate, so he would know if he needed to make, what bracha achrona do I need to make. So that's not how I eat. I know exactly what I'm eating when I eat the shayas that I eat enough, but I know what I ate. Pam achas, so someone who's totally engrossed in Torah lives in a different plane. Pam achas, a different realm. Pam achas, ha'isi me'alach b'derach. Rav Yossi ben Kisma was one time walking on the road. U'paga bi adam echad, and a man met me, v'nasan li shalom, he gave me shalom aleichem, v'achzarti lo shalom, I gave him aleichem shalom. Amar li, he said to me, Rabbi Me'eza, ma'akom ata, this is Perek Vav, Mishnah Tes. We began in Perek Alf, Mishnah Beis. Now we skipped all the way to Perek Vav, Mishnah Tes. We also have the Torah traits. Remember, we learned about the 48 traits by which Torah is acquired. So much of Pirkei Avos focuses on Torah. Rabbi Me'eza, ma'akom ata, Rabbi, from what place are you? Amarti lo, me'ir gadol, shechachamim b'shal sofri mani, I live in a gavaldic place full of Torah scholars. My neighbors are Aaron Leib Steinman. I'm Rav Chaim Kanievsky. We live in a gavaldic place of Sofrim and Chachamim. Amarli, so this guy said, Rabbi, Ritzoncha Shatadur Imanu Mikomein. Wait a minute. Would you, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, like to live in our place? V'ani etenecha alef alafim din reizav v'vanim tovus u'mergolius. And I will give you thousands of dinarim of zahav, gold. And I will give you precious gems. And I will give you pearls. And if anybody saw, I've mentioned it a few times. I think about 3-4 months now, I've stopped checking the news, Baruch Hashem. I managed to check the news. It turns out whatever you need, you find out on WhatsApp. When Rav Chaim was Niftar, I did check the news last Friday. In the past couple of days, they've been publishing picture essays, vignette stories. So I did. Also after the terror attack in Be'er Sheva, which I spoke about this morning, sure, I did. But in general, I really not checking the news. Those were two exceptions. And I don't know if anybody saw, there was a picture in the Cheder HaSfarim of the Mita of Rav Chaim, of the Niftar, with candles and wrapped in a talis. And this Mishnah is so close brought to home. When you see the picture of the Gadol Hadar, who is holding up the whole world, Al-Shor Shal Dvarim Olam Amid, Al-Tori, who is holding up the world. When my son heard about the terror attack in Tel Aviv, he came from yeshiva, and I told him what happened. He said, when Rav Chaim was here, we had Shmira. But at the end of a life, what does a person have? Everyone goes the same way. So what does one take with them? Avanim Tovos? Margolios? Dinari Zahav? Does it matter at the end of your life how much gold and silver and pearls you had? Amar li Rabbi Ritzoncha Shatadur Imanu B'mekomeinu V'adni Etenecha Alef Alafim Dinari Zahav Avanim Tovos Margolios. I'll make you a rich man if you move to our place. Amar Tilo, said Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, you think I need to be a rich man in physicality? Am Atu Nosein li Kol Kesev V'Zahav Avanim Tovos Margolios Ba'olam? Are you crazy? You could give me all the silver, all the gold, all the precious gems, all the pearls in the whole world. What's it going to do for me at the end of my life? Eini dar al b'makom Torah. I'm going to do one thing. I'm going to sit at the Dalet Amos of Torah. V'kein kasu b'sefer Tehillim ayidei David melech Yisrael. And so the pasuk says, continues the Mishnah, and sefer Tehillim by David melech Yisrael. Tov li Torah picha mei alfei zohar v'kesef. David melech says, kapitel kuf yitesef Tehillim. There's only one thing that's good for me. More than millions of dollars, thousands of pieces of gold and silver. The only thing that I care about is the Torah of your mouth, Ribono Sholem. Velo od, and not only that, no one gets off this planet alive. Not Moshe Rabbeinu, not the Rambam, not the Chafetz Chaim, not Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and not us. Now what are we going to take with us? It's mamish a wake-up call. V'lo od al shabbat shas p'tiraso shal adam. When a person departs from this world. Why is it called p'tira? I've told you this before. I heard Rabbi Menachem Penner say at the why you reach Yarchi Kala, which they didn't have the past years because of COVID, so at least 3 years ago. Patur just means absolved, like you're patur min mitzvos. Okay, if you say someone's pater min a mitzvos, it means that they don't have to do that mitzvah. A woman is pater min mitzvos ase shos man grama. What's niftar? Niftar just means that the person's now pater min a mitzvos. You can't do them anywhere. That's what niftar means. We don't say they died. We say they're niftar. Niftar means they're pater. Shabbishas p'tiraso shal adam. When a person is pater min a mitzvos, not because he's tamei, so he can't bring the korban pesach. Not because it's a woman, so she can't do bris milah. Not because it's a king, so he can't be a dayan. The ultimate p'tira. You're totally pater min a mitzvos. So what do you have? Asher mishabola kan v'talmuda biyado. Ein malavin lo la'adam lo kesef v'lo zahav. The silver is not coming. The gold is not coming. V'lo avanim tovus u'margolios. The precious gems, the diamonds, the pearls, the rubies. It's not coming. It's not coming. Ela Torah u'mayisim tovim bilvad. The only thing we can take with us, now of course we're not I can't even say the statement, but we're not a Rabbitson Kanievsky, we're not a Henny Machlis. Maybe you are. I'm totally not a Henny Machlis, and I'm not a Rabbitson Kanievsky. But whatever you are on your level, are you the person you're meant to be? What are we busy with here? What is valuable to us? How do we spend our time in this world? Ela Torah u'mayisim tovim bilvad. Shanemar, like the pasuk says in Mishlei, behis halachecha tanacha osach, and then the Mishnah is going to expound upon the pasuk. When you walk, it will lead you. Beshach becha tishmar lecha, when you lay down, it will guard over you. Ahakitzvosahi tisichacha, and when you awaken, it will be your speech. So now the Mishnah is going to tell you what that means. When you walk, it will lead you. Ba'olam hazeh. You want to know how to walk through this world? You want to know what should guide you in this world? It's not Hollywood, Chas V'Sham, and it's not modern culture, Rahman Sana, and it's not CNN, Yamach Shmam. What will guide you in this world? Ba'olam Hazeh, Torah. B'shach b'cha tishmar alacha. When you lay down, it will guard over you. What does that mean? Bekever. When a person's in the grave, they don't care in Shemayim how fancy, much fancy you had. It makes no difference to them. God gives and God takes. The gold is his. Li ha-kesef v'li ha-zav. That's the Mishnah ends. Li ha-kesef v'li ha-zav nu Hashem tzva. Because you think I'm impressed up here by how much gashmis you were involved in, says Rebbe Hashem. V'ha-kitzvo sehi tisichecha la'olam haba. And when you awaken, meaning when your soul ascends to the next world, it will be your speech. So they're going to ask us, so Taka, what did you do? What were you involved in? What did you accomplish? La'olam haba v'omer. Mishnah finishes. Li ha-kesef v'li ha-zav nu Hashem tzva. So Rabbi Yossi ben Kismi, you think I'm going to move to your place because you're going to pay me off? Do you have a place of Sofrim? Do you have a place of Talmidei Chachamim? Do you have a place of Torah scholars? The rabbi who was killed in Be'er Sheva, Moshe, something with a K was his last name. He was about 50 years old. I saw 48, 49, 50. He was a Chabad Shaliach. He had a shawl in Be'er Sheva and he ran the soup kitchen. That's something you take with you to the next world. I took care of the needy. I took care of the elderly. I devoted my life to Tzar Chitzibur. That's something you take with Talmud Obiyado. It's all focus. What's the whole purpose? Tovi Torah Picha Me'alfei Zahav V'Kesef. I'm quoting once again from the biography of Rebbetzin Kanievsky. Her son-in-law, Rabbi David Epstein, remembers how the Rebbetzin cried when someone replaced her kitchen cabinet handles without informing her. She was not placated until the grandchild who had surprised her put back the original old hardware. The Rebbetzin believed that even such a relatively minor purchase would make her guilty of consumption and cause her to serve as a poor role model for others. Why don't you and Rav Chaim go away for a few days to rest? Asked Rav Chaim's assistant, Rav Moshe Smotny, about 10 years before the Rebbetzin's patira. The Rebbetzin replied, in my entire life, I have never asked my husband for any materialistic item, luxury or vacation, and I do not intend to change that practice now. A poor person who lived in Bnei Brak came to the Rebbetzin to discuss, quote, a very good idea regarding how he could pay for his daughter's upcoming wedding. He had a wealthy relative in America who admired Rav Chaim and learned from his farm. Now, if the Rebbetzin would give him Rav Chaim's silver becher, which he used on Shabbos and Yom Tov for more than 25 years, Ritzoncha shetadur imenu b'mekomenu? Vani eten lecha alef alafim dinarei zaha va'avavanim tovos u'margolios? Rav Chaim used this silver becher for more than 25 years. So this man said, you know, if I sell it to my American relative for a knife, some money, you give it to me. I'll sell it to my relative. I'll be able to pay for my daughter's wedding. The Rebbetzin immediately agreed and gave away the becher. The man returned several hours later with a silver-plated becher for Rav Chaim's silver one. Bracha Braverman recounted a granddaughter asked the Rebbetzin, how could you allow that person to give you a silver-plated Kiddush cup? The one you gave was pure silver. It was valuable. People would have paid a lot of money for Saba's Kiddush cup. The Rabbitson replied, "Do you think Saba knows the difference, whether it's silver or not, or plated? I'm even happier I gave the man Saba's Kiddush cup. I see how poor he really is. Obviously, he can't afford to buy real silver. That shows me what a big mitzvah we did in helping him." Rav Chaim went on to use the silver-plated becher for many years. On Chol HaMoed, Pesach, and Sukkos, and all the vignettes I'm sharing from this biography deal with the same theme, which is the Mishnayos, the two Mishnayos that we looked at tonight, Torah, Avodah Gemilas Chasadim, and the Mishnah, Perek Vav, Pasuk Tes, which we just finished. On Chol HaMoed, Pesach, and Sukkos, Rav Chaim and the Rebbetzin tried to visit their newly married grandchildren in their homes after Rav Chaim finished his Chovos, his daily learning. After a short time of greeting and pleasantries, they would discuss Halacha, usually Hilchos Mezuzah and Hilchos Yom Tov. Rav Chaim and the Rebbetzin rarely lectured the children and grandchildren, but one grandchild, however, recalls, "When we were newly married, we had a curio cabinet with silver miniatures in the dining room, but we had not yet put up a bookcase for Sfarim. This bothered Saba. As he was leaving, he pulled me to the side, and with a twinkle in his eye, he benched me that I should be zocha to get rid of the shmatas and replace them with Sfarim." So we now go to it. That is our introduction to Shir. I thought, by the way, Rabbi Gladstein's Shir that I listened to was, I don't know from how many years ago, he was referring to Rav Chaim Shlita, and he shared 10 different insights on the Golos HaPasach. So I prepared 10 different insights. I did not think my introduction was going to take me this long. So it might be, I don't know. But it might be we're going to start tonight and then finish Be'ezor Hashem next week. I'm not sure. Okay, because I definitely don't want to rush you. I also don't want to skip what I prepared. But I thought it was such a beautiful idea. And again, when he presented it, Rav Chaim was alive because he was saying Rav Chaim Kanevsky Shlita. So for someone on my level who cannot say anything about Rav Chaim, I think it is extremely appropriate to learn from his Divrei Torah, given that we are Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, and that he was a person who embodied Kol HaTorah Kulo, literally, figuratively, in everything he did, and how he lived his life. We will not be maspid, but learn from his Divrei Torah. Masachas Brachos Yodchas tells us that Tzadikim Afim Misasam Nikraim Chayim, the righteous, even in death, are called alive. The same place in the Gemara, the same daf tells you that Rasha'im af b'chayim nikra'im misim. The Rasha and their life are called dead, and the Tzaddik and death are called alive. And part of the way that we keep the Tzaddik alive, think of our Meir Shapil of Blin who started Daf Yomi. So think of a Chavetz Chaim, everyone learns the Mishnah Brura, Hilchos Chavetz Chaim, Nidchei Yisrael. So one of the ways that a Tzaddik remains alive, like the Gemara tells us, Brachos Yerchas, Amen Al through Beis, is when we learn their Divrei Torah. So the tzaddik isn't dead. They may have been niftar. They're potter for themselves from the mitzvos. They're potter from their obligation to learn Torah. Kavata itim l'Torah, Shabbos lamed af. But we, they're potter. But we who are here are able to take their Torah and keep it alive. It's interesting. Actually, I was just at a Shiva house today. I just thought of that. I was just at a Shiva house today. I don't know if anybody knows Janet Spector. She's sitting Shiva for her very, very dear mother, Rosalind Bramson, who really loved learning with me. She was so devoted to the Thursday Shir before COVID at Young Israel. She would come in person and then she would learn on Zoom. She was such a vibrant, really, you know, there's some people who are old and young old. So I went to Pesach Shiva call today. And Janet Spector said something very, very interesting. Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky from DRS told her a very beautiful verse, which she shared. It relates to this idea that tzaddikim af b'misasim nekra'im chayim. How? By us learning their Torah, by us learning from their ways, by us grabbing onto their midos in the way that we can, the tzaddik is still alive. So Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky from DRS told her that we say hamakom minachem eschem b'soch shar avle tzion v'yerushalayim. He gave a very unique chiddush, I'm not sure where he was quoting from, on this statement. To comfort the mourners. There's another message here. There's another makom, he said. I think also Chanu Asherman relates to the fact that you said your father's life continues to be a legacy for your family. There's a makom that's now absent from the nifter. They left a space empty. It's your job, Rabbi Kamenetsky said, to fill that space by emulating the midos, by grabbing onto their character traits, by living how they lived, by keeping the Mesorah alive. You fill the space of the nifter. by learning from them. And that's the other hamakom. Hamakom in Achim Eschem, you filling that space and keeping the neshama alive and the memory alive, their midos alive, their ways alive, will be a nechama to you. B'soch shah avleitzion v'yirushalayim. And I never heard that before. Mom is just earlier today, and I thought it was very powerful, and I think it also relates to this idea. Again, us on our level, whatever we can learn from the Gadol HaDor, whatever way we can change from the lessons from the Gadol HaDor, whatever Torah of his we can understand on our level, we are filling the space, filling the void that is left, and ensuring that a tzaddik truly, b'misaso, is unbelievably nikraim chayim through the Divrei Torah HaMakom Yenachem Esam. You fill the space of the nifter. You keep their legacy alive. You keep learning from them even after their patira. You move into their place. That's the greatest nechama, not only for us, but for the neshama of the niftar and for the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's a beautiful verse to keep in mind. I don't know where Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky was quoting from, but it's really beautiful. So I prepare 10 Divrei Torah from Rav Chaim Zatzal. It's really hard for me to say Zatzal. If you've been in my shiurim this week a couple of times, more than a couple this week, I've been saying Rav Chaim Shlita, which I'm so used to saying. I prepare 10 Divrei Torah. None of them are the same as Rabbi Glatstein, so I'm not plagiarizing. I just like the idea. 10 Divrei Torah from Rav Chaim on the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Okay? I have a feeling we're going to continue this next week. Okay, I'm starting with Halach Ma'anya. I went in order of the Haggadah, so that we are, if you're taking notes, we're in chronological order, and there's 10 different places from 10 different places in the Haggadah. So we begin, yes, Kadesh. Okay, how do we begin? Ma'agid Halach Ma'anya Di'achalu Avasana Ba'arad Mitzrayim. This is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt. Kol Dichvin Yesev V'yechal. Anyone in need should come eat. Kol Ditzrich Yesev V'yifsach. Anyone who needs the Korban Pesach should come to the Korban Pesach with us, which really, if listen to my share of this morning, you have to be careful. You have to be counting on the Korban Pesach before the afternoon, before Shechta, but okay, that's a little different of halacha. Hashtahacha, this year we are here. Lashana haba ba'ar di Yisrael. Next year, we hope to be in the land of Israel. Hashtah avdei, this year we are slaves. Lashana haba b'nei chorin. Okay, so Rav Chaim teaches quote. I'm quoting from the Rav Chaim Kanievsky Haggadah. Halach ma'anya was, now you know that it's in Aramaic. Basically, the whole Haggadah is written in Lashana Kodesh. This passage is recited in Aramaic, which is very famous. Halach Ma'anya was written at a time when the majority of the Jewish people lived in exile in Bavel, and Aramaic was the spoken language. You could say, like today, the spoken language overwhelmingly of Jews in America is, what I'm speaking in, English. Since it is a public invitation, it was composed in the language that the people understood. Our prayers, on the other hand, are said in Lashon HaKodesh due to the status of Lashon HaKodesh when we daven, but they spoke in Aramaic, and just like we speak in English, so when they extended an invitation, they extended the invitation in language everyone would understand. Chok Yaakov Orachayim notes that some of the custom to open the door during this recitation, so the invitation will be heard by anyone who needs it. So do we have to do that? Do we have to open the door while reciting Halach Ma'anya? Rav Chaim defends the prevailing custom that the invitation is issued, you could keep the door closed, and explains it nonetheless serves its purpose. Since Halach Ma'anya, says Rav Chaim, is universally recited as part of the Haggadah, all are aware that we are proclaiming an open invitation during the course of the Seder. Therefore, Rav Chaim says, you do not need to open the door. Anyone who is in need, knows he is welcome at every home at the start of the Seder, because everyone is familiar with the invitation with which we begin the Seder. So no, even though the Chok Yaakov writes, some have the custom to open the door, Rav Chaim says the door does not need to be open. Why did the rabbis institute, continuing, that we offer this invitation specifically in the Haggadah at the Pesach Seder? Like, why don't you start every Friday night Mia, every Shabbos, every Yom Tov? Maybe we should start with the Halach Ma'anya, okay? Instead of Kol Ditzrich Yesei V'Yifsach, so you might say anyone who is hungry, you should come have the Shabbos Suda with us. Why daf does it by Leil HaSeder as opposed to any of the other Yomim Tovim, or for that matter, every Friday night? The Pesach Seder, unique from other festivals and Shabbos meals, has a number of mitzvot that must be specifically filled through eating. Matzah, we eat. Maror, charoses, karpas, arbakosos, the salty water that we dip, the korech sandwich. On this night, one who cannot afford to buy these expensive items loses a wealth of opportunity for mitzvah performance. Therefore, although at all times, There's certainly a mitzvah to be machnish archem and host guests and share our food with the needy. The rabbi specifically directed us on Leil HaSeder to start with a unique invitation to call all in need to be our guests and to provide them with the opportunity to do these mitzvahs. So Pesach is unique. Therefore, we begin with a unique invitation. So many of the mitzvahs have to do with achila. There's achilas matzah, there's achilas maror, there's the drinking of the arba kosos. People who cannot, there's the motzi matzah, you have to have a shulchan arba. You have to have a lavish meal. It's an expensive proposition, and there are many who cannot afford this degree of buying food, and that is why specifically Rav Chaim explains what it comes to. Leil HaSeder, we issue this unique invitation. Rav Chaim retells the following story from his father, the stipler Zatzal. In my youth, the stipler would say, we began by talking a little bit about the shirach between Rav Chaim and his illustrious Robertson, Bat Sheva Al Yashav, Allah Hasham, and how the stipler gave his son advice, ask a personal question. Did you ask a personal question? Yes, I know where her father's holding and is learning. The stipler said, I spent some time in the city of Vilna, which had a tremendous Jewish population. I came to the synagogue. I saw tens, plural, of needy people asking for tzedakah. I did not have too much money myself, said the stipler. I wasn't sure what to do. Was I required to give tzedakah to all in need? I definitely couldn't give them everything. Should I just give a little bit? I went to ask Rav Chaim Oizer Grudzinski. He was the head of the Beis Din in Lithuania, the great leader of Lithuanian Jewry. Rav Chaim Oizer responded to my question with an account of his own. And Rav Chaim Oizer says, I used to live in the town of Ivya, a small town with a small Jewish population, says Rav Chaim Oizer. Every day I would give a warm greeting to every Jew in the town. However, now I live in Vilna, a city with tens of thousands of Jews. I cannot greet every Jew in the city, yet I still greet whoever I can. Giving tzedakah is similar. True, you are required to give tzedakah to anyone in need. However, in a town such as Vilna, with so many poor people, you need to give whoever you are able to give. And we can derive here an important lesson for chesed in our lives. At different times in our lives, maybe you have not had this experience, but I have in a very real sense in my own life at different periods. Sometimes you're able to do more for other people, and sometimes you're able to do less for other people. It doesn't mean you stop totally, but it means you do what you can. And just because you can't do for everybody, it doesn't mean you shouldn't do for somebody. Rav Aaron Leib Steinman Zatzal, who was a close colleague of Rav Chaim, who was a neighbor of Rav Chaim, but ultimately became his mechotan, spoke about the widespread poverty of the Jews in Lithuania when he was growing up. We followed the ruling, here's a little bit of a play of words. We followed the rulings of the Chaye Adam in every aspect of halacha, except for one. Okay, before I continue, what does Chaye Adam literally mean? Chaye means life and Adam means man. Okay, it's going to be a play on words. So Rav Steinman Zatzal said, we follow the rulings of the Chaye Adam in every aspect of halacha, except for one. The Chaye Adam rules that potatoes are a form of kinis. Could you imagine if we pass on the potatoes are kinis? The Chaye Adam rules that potatoes are a form of kinis and may not be eaten on Pesach. We did not follow this ruling because people would say, the halacha follows the Chaye Adam, except for when his words contradict Chaye Adam. Okay, if halacha follows the Chaye Adam, except when the words contradict the life of man. If we would have avoided potatoes over Pesach in Lithuania, we would have almost nothing to eat. We would have been in danger of dying from starvation. One more paragraph on halach ma'anya before we continue. Remember what we're talking about. This is the bread of affliction, the bread of poverty. So these are not just some stories. In fact, oh my gosh, I'm sitting under a picture of the Chazon Ish, which I did not even remember. You want to see them telling the truth? Sorry, it's music. And I literally did not realize till that very second. I had to come upstairs because there's a tutoring session. That's why, if you notice, I moved upstairs a few months ago, going on simultaneously downstairs. That's pretty funny. So it was the Chazon Ish who said, the best Musar stories of Gedolim. So when we say halach ma'anya diachalu abasana bar de Mitzrayim, it wasn't only bar de Mitzrayim that they had bread of affliction. It was lita. It was the early days of the old Yishuv in Palestine. It was in communist Russia. There were many times when the Jews ate halach ma'anya diachalu avasan. It was my grandparents during the camps. When your father was a survivor, his family was killed. There are many times that we ate bread of affliction. We have to appreciate what we have now and the fact that we are able to do for others. So Rav Chaim Paskin said the door does not have to be open. It's a universal declaration that everybody is aware of. But whatever you can do for the whole world. But whatever you can do, you have to do in welcoming others and sharing what you have. Rav Chaim says, quote, even a person who has only enough food for his family and will not usually invite guests announces, whoever is hungry, that I'm come and eat. So everyone says, whoever is hungry, come eat. Tonight we are telling all poor people they should not be embarrassed to ask for an invitation to any house. If a person does not have a lot of food, well, everyone will make do with a little less in order to accommodate the guests, because this is a night when we open the door for all. And of course, it should be a modus operandi of our homes, that as much as we can do, we do. Different times in life we can do more, different times we can do less. As much as we can do, we do. Moving on, in the middle of Magid, or towards the beginning of Magid, we say, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanasan Torah La'am Yisrael, Baruch Hu, Baruch HaMakom. We spoke about a Makom. So Makom, of course, is the Makom HaShe'olam. Because Baruch Hu is Makom HaShe'olam, the Ein HaOlam Makomo. He is the place of the world. The world is not his place. That's really the comfort to the mourners. But we had a different spin on that tonight, a different var from Avishal Kamenetsky, which is that you must fill the space, the void that the mourner leaves behind, that the nifter leaves behind. In fact, my brother told me the name of his Rav Yanki Berkowitz, that the Oros Devash writes, my brother forwarded it to me, the Oros Devash writes that when an Adam Gadol is Nifter, all of his Milos are Hefker, and they're up for the taking. So there are Milos of Yedias HaTorah, Chachmas HaTorah, Yiras Shemayim, Ahavas Yisrael, Ahavas Chesed, and they're Hefker. What does that mean? The person's Nifter. We already explained from Rabbi Penner what Nifter means. They're Potter. Doesn't mean dead. That's tzaddik b'misasa nikraim chayim. What does it mean they're niftar? They're not chayim and mitzvos anymore. They're not owning those midos anymore. They don't have those milos anymore. They went up. Whatever they had, they had. So all those midos are spiritually floating around hefker. So who can have them? Anyone who wants them. The Oros Devash says, quote, it's an ace ratzon. After an Adam Gadol is Nifter, to grab onto those Milos, you can now own them. You can make them your own. You could take that Gavos and take part of it for yourself, because it's Hefker. The Nifker is not here anymore. The Nifter is not here anymore. So grab onto something. So Baruch HaMakom, it ties into the verb of Yisrael Kamenetsky, fill the space of the Nifter. And that is the greatest Yenachem Eschem B'Soch Shar Avdei Tzion V'Yerushalayim. So we're definitely not doing 10 insights tonight. I'm not sure what I was thinking, but I usually overprepare. But tonight I really overprepared. Baruch Shanasan Torah La'amo Yisrael. Rav Chaim repeats a story about the power of Torah study that his father used to tell. And this is such a tremendous gavaldic way to really sum up tonight's shir, because the shir was really about Torah. And furthermore, we learned the Mishnah from Perek Vav Mishnah Tess about Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma and Avanim Tovos Umargolios. Eini dar el b'makom Torah. Shabashas p'ti raso shal Adam. Ein melavin lo Adam lo zahav lo kesev lo Avanim Tovos Umargolios. El Torah maisim tovim bilvad. And that is really to the T, to the exact letter of the law of Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal embodied. Someone who cared about nothing except Torah. So now I'm going to quote Rav Chaim, and he could really be speaking about it himself. Rav Chaim repeats a story about the power of Torah study that his father used to tell. Remember, Baruch HaMakom, we spoke about Makom, Baruch Hu, blessed is Hashem, Baruch Shanasan Torah La'am Yisrael. By the way, in Dayenu, we also talk about Torah, Ilu Kervanu Lefnei Har Sinai, and then we talk about Torah, Ilu Lasan Lanu Esa Torah. So there is a big theme of Torah also. In fact, the fourth cup of Geula corresponds to Matan Torah. The fourth Lashon of Geula corresponds to Har Sinai. So underlying theme of the God, and explicitly stated in a number of places, is also the importance of Torah. There's a lot of focus. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Shanasan Torah La'am Yisrael. Ilu Kervanu Lefnei Har Sinai, Ilu Nosan Lanu Esa Torah, Asara Miyodea, Asara Dibraya. The fourth cup is the cup of Har Sinai. The fourth cup is the fourth Lashon, is the Lashon of Har Sinai. So we see that one of the main focuses, Avitzias Mitzrayim, the El Seder is Torah. The whole point of the physical redemption was to go get the Torah. What does Chazal say in Pirkei Avos? In the Chaben Chorin, Al Misha Osek Batalma Torah. So Pirkei Avos is replete with references to the importance of Torah study. As you've seen from the few sources that I've quoted, Haggadah Shal Pesach is focused on Torah study, and the whole life of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Livracha, was mamish, a life of nothing else but Torah study. Rabbitzin Batsheva showed up at her parents, the stipend is Rabbitzin Miriam, and they said, "Where's Chaim?" And she says, "I have no idea, he didn't meet me." And the sniper said, "He's probably at the bus station with his head stuck in the stugya," and that's exactly where he was. Rav Chaim repeats a story about the power of Torah study that his father used to tell. The stipend was a student, and later a Rosh Hashiva in the Navardik Yeshiva in Russia. The yeshiva was often short on funds and employed a fundraiser who would travel to Jewish communities in Eastern Europe to raise money for the yeshiva expenses. When the fundraiser reached the town of Karlin, he paid a visit to the elderly rabbi of the town, the great sage Rabbi David Friedman. The fundraiser entered Rabbi David's home and he found him sitting before an open Gemara engrossed in Torah study. He's in the town of Karlin. Or I assume the Karlin stone Chassidus comes from. The fundraiser stood there, but never assumed, but I think. The fundraiser stood there for a long time, transfixed at the sight of the aged rabbi learning in his study. After a long while, Rabbi David looked up and he saw that he had a visitor. Shalom Aleichem, said Rabbi Friedman to the guest. How can I help you? The visitor said, "I'm a representative of the Navardak Yeshiva. I came to raise money for the yeshiva." Rabbi David Friedman gave him a donation. He was probably Rabbi David, even though it's written with an A, and returned to his Gemara. The fundraiser, still mesmerized and inspired by the sight of the elderly sage immersed in study, remained in the room and watched Rabbi David Friedman studying. Some time passed. The rabbi looked up from the Gemara. He noticed the visitor. He said, "Shalom Aleichem. How can I help you?" Slightly confused, having already answered the question, the man said, "I am here. I'm a fundraiser from the Navardak Yeshiva." Rabbi David gave him another donation and returned to his study. The fundraiser drawed inspiration from the sight of the rabbi, the elderly sage, learning Torah, and he stood there. More time passed, and the rabbi looked up, and he said, "Oh, I have a visitor, Shalom Aleichem. How can I help you?" The visitor respectfully replied, "As I've already explained, I came to collect donations for the Navardak Yeshiva. You already gave me two donations. I stayed to watch you learning Torah." Rabbi David looked at the fundraiser. "Please understand," he said, "I am very old. My memory is extremely weak. I remember almost nothing from my day-to-day activities. When I get up from my chair a few moments later, I don't know why I got up." However, he pointed to his Gemara. "When it comes to Torah, I have forgotten nothing. I remember every word in the Gemara and all the Torah I've learned my whole life." The fundraiser left the house awed by the power and intensity of Torah study. How a lifetime of Torah study can defy the ravages of old age. Until his old age, until his dying year. Rav Chaim made a siyum on Kol Torah Kulo. Something I can't even fathom. I don't even know what that means. Kol Torah, I mean, I could list. I know. I saw the list of what he studied, but I can't even conceptualize what that means. As it's possible not to grow tired. 80, 81, 82, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 90 what? Because Torah leads you when you walk, protects you when you lay down, and it's your conversation when you awake in the morning. And this man from Navardak saw the fundraiser, how Torah defies old age. As he traveled further, he came to the village of Radin, the home of the Chafetz Chaim, one of the leading rabbis of the generation. The fundraiser told the Chafetz Chaim of his experiences in the Rav David's home, and the Chafetz Chaim marveled at the power of a lifetime of Torah study. Not long after, this Rabbi David Friedman from Karlin passed away. The Chavetz Chaim summoned the fundraiser to come to Radin and eulogize Rav David. How did Rabbi Kilson and Darcha eulogize Rav Chaim? All he said was, "We can't be masped him. I can't be masped him," he said. "But I can say what they said when the Chavetz Chaim passed away. Before it was a world with the Chavetz Chaim, and now it's a world without the Chavetz Chaim." What did the Chavetz Chaim say to this fundraiser from Movardak? "Just repeat the story of how you saw him learning," said the Chafetz Chaim. Quote, "That is the most powerful eulogy you can give." When the stipler was young, when he was a young student, Sfarim were hard to come by. When he heard that the famed Rav Moshe Sokolovsky had published the Imre Moshe, a sefer of Torah Chedushim, the stipler wrote explaining he was a poor yeshiva student. He wanted to purchase the sefer. Baruch Shanasan Torah La'ama Yisrael Baruch Hu. Ilu karvanu lifnei har sina, ilu nasan lanu es haTorah. Asara miyodea, asara dibraya. Rav Moshe responded by sending the stipler a copy of the Imre Moshe, free of charge. Years later, after World War II, Rav Moshe Sokolowski's students wanted to reprint the Imre Moshe. They searched for a copy to reprint, but they were unable to find one. It seemed as though all the copies of the Sefer had been lost or destroyed during the war. Finally, they discovered the stipler had a copy of the Sefer that the author had sent him, and from that copy, the Sefer was reprinted. Because of the author's generosity, his Sefer was reprinted for another generation. My husband said that Rabbi Akiva Willig in Shul Friday night, last Friday night, after Shushan Purim, what he spoke about was, do all of Klal Yisrael have to tear Kriya? Do we all have to tear Kriya upon hearing the news? So he went through the halachos and he quoted different sources. The ma'isa, the answer was, he said no. He quoted from Ramosha. But it's even a kasha. That's what it's even a kasha. And I saw in the Rabbanim from Bnei Brak said that the entire Bnei Brak has to tear Kriya. So there's a gaping hole. And it's frightening because if Torah holds up the world, and this was the God of the Torah in our generation, which I can't even fathom what that means. I can't fathom the expanse of the universe. I can't fathom the depths of the sea. Lufil Malshira Kayam Ulashonenu Rina Kamon Galav Visosenu Shavach Merchaviraki. I don't know what Merchaviraki are. I can't imagine how far the universes go. I don't know how, I'm not like an eagle's wings, and I don't know how far the waves go. I literally cannot fathom the depths of what this even means. But there's a gaping hole. And first of all, we have to take a musar. Because what are we chasing after in life? Ritzoncha shadadur imenu b'mikomenu v'ani yetein lecha alef alafim dinarei zav v'kesef v'avanim tovus margolios. Amarti lo imata nosi nikok zahav v'kesef v'avanim tovus margolios shaba'olam eini dar el b'makom Torah. It should cause us to refocus our lives. Hashem's giving us a big wake-up call. We're not Rav Chaim. We're not Rabbi Simba Cheva. We're not Hani Machas. We need Gashmias. We have it. Maybe like me, you like some luxuries in your life. But what's the focus? What's the ikkar? And what's the tafel? What's going to accompany us in the Olam HaEmes? And we have to, in some way, each of us on our own level, make up for this gaping hole that is lost. All of the Yoros Tavash rites, as told to my brother, Rabbi Yanki Berkowitz, all the midos are hefker. You can grab them. They're spiritually floating around because Rav Chaim's not here anymore because he's nifter. He's potter. So what happens is Chachmas HaTorah. So yeah, so the Gedolim will have a much greater degree of Chachmas HaTorah from Rav Chaim than we have. But it means it's an Eis Ratzon. On our level, you can grab the Chachmas HaTorah. You can grab the Simchas HaChaim. You could grab the Zahavas Yisrael. You could grab the Hachnasas Archim that emanated from their home. And we have to fill the makom. We may not become the Gadol Hador. I will never become the Gadol Hador. But hamakom yinachem eschem. There's a hole. There's a space. There's an emptiness. There's a void that has shocked us. That is frightening to us. But each one of us on our level can do something to fill that void, to ensure that when we fill that makom, the tzaddik Af b'misaso, eternally, is nekra im chayim. We daven that the Ribbono Shel Olam should see our Torah on our level. Give us the kochos to live the lives we should live, we want to lead. Obviously, ultimately, to bring the ultimate Yeshua and Geula. And Be'ezor Hashem, next week, there's 8 Tevei Torah left on the Haggadah that I prepared. We got to Halach Ma'anya and Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanasa and Torah La'amo Yisrael. We thank Chana Wasserman very much for her sponsorship this evening. L'zeichar Nishmas, her father, Shmuel ben Baruch HaLevi, Alav Hashem, on the occasion of the 16th Yahrzeit, which was 16th Adar, 29th Yahrzeit. I wish everybody a meaningful and uplifting Shabbos Kodesh. Thank you so much. I know I went quite over this evening. I'm sorry. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody. Kol Tov. Besoros Tovos.